Holy Letters of the Rebbe, Volume 16, Letter Number 6045. Baruch Hashem, the 9th of Shvat, Tov Shin Yud Ches, Brooklyn. Harav HaGoen, Rebbe addresses him as the genius. Mareinu Yaakov Sheyichya Berger. This is Shalom Vrachov. Rebbe says, in a timely manner, I received the Siddur that you published. The Siddur is named Tefillah, Siddur Tefillah, Tzloiso d'Avrom, the prayer of Avraham, section 1. And that Siddur is adorned with notes enlightening is surrounded with sources for the davening and the custom. That is the new Siddur that he published. It had notes, it had enlightening pieces, and it also was surrounded by sources for the davening, where it comes from, and the traditions. So the Rebbe said, I found a great treasure, an oitzer bolum, of sorting out the various languages of the prayers and matters that are tied to it. So the Rebbe is really excited at the work that he did. The Rebbe says, I found a treasure, a great treasure, an oitzer bolum, with regards to the davening. And generally, prayer is not just one aspect, but our sages of blessed memory, when they talk about prayer, they say about prayer in the Gemara Brachas Vav Amid Beis, it says there that this is matters that stand in the height of the world. Dvarim ha'emdim beruma shalaylo. So the Rebbe says, because this is in the height of the world, means very important, that from this you can understand, and it's obvious how every detail is important. Especially Rashi's point on that piece of Gemara, it says it states in the height of the world. So Rashi over there translates, what does it mean in the height of the world? It goes up. The height of the world means they go out above. When you pray, your prayers go up above. And therefore, this is very important, the work you did. And this is also understood for many of the early ones, the Rishonim. They looked into every aspect of the davening until every word. And as it says, it's brought down in the tour that they would weigh and count the numbers of the words of the prayers and the blessings. Everything to be precise, everything is accurate. They explain this is a very important undertaking and it has a lot of importance, especially that Berumah Shaloylam, as the Gemara says, it stands in the height of the world, and as Rashi says, it goes up to Shemayim. Going up to Shemayim, then you need this. You need to be careful and make sure that everything is precise, accurate. The Rebbe says, it's also known, the Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch, that he counted for himself a very special privilege when he was saying that because of certain things that he did, that stood by him in his difficulties. So one of the things that he counted a very special zechus is that he sorted out and he set up the language of the davening in the Siddur. The Alter Rebbe's have the Siddur we daven today. That was set up by the Alter Rebbe. And the Hasidim relate that when the Alter Rebbe sorted out the exact language of the davening, he had in front of him, and he combined it, 60 different Siddurim, 60 different prayer books. He had other prayer books, and he sorted it out, and he combined it, and he made the best Siddur from all the various different Nusach languages of the various different Siddurim. And the Rebbe says, it is really even greater the value to reference the sources for the prayers during our period. Because that what is brought down in the Gemara Brachas over there, that notwithstanding that prayer is such a high level, but people are cheapened, they don't pay attention. They cheapen them. And the Rebbe says, in our generation, which the Rebbe calls an orphaned generation, orphaned in the context, we don't have so many great people, we're an orphaned generation. That cheapening and the disregard to the prayers is increased. And it is to such a degree that people disrespect, sometimes it expresses itself many times, that to such an extent that everybody says that I have the authority, and he goes ahead and changes the language of prayer as he wishes. Changes, shortens, skips. You know, people just taking themselves the liberty to change the sitter as they wish. And obviously, when they come up and make new prayers that we never imagined, not our fathers and our father's father, just making up their own stuff. And this is just contrary. So the Rebbe is saying that's why the sources are so important, especially because the people have a disregard, a disrespect for the authenticity out of these prayers, and each one does and changes. And this goes contrary from that which we were warned with full force and with complete, we have to, in a very specific pasuk, absolutely, this is a verse in Koheles, Al tevahil al picho, don't be too haste with your mouth. Vilipcho al yimahir, let your heart not be too haste. Lahoitzi davar lifnei elikim, to express something before God. Don't be quickly to just say things before God. Don't impulsively, don't just say. You have to be careful. Look in the interpretation. So the Rebbe says to look into the interpretation of the Eben Ezra who prolonged commentary over there. And Reb Chaim Vital told us, let us know, in the name of his teacher, the Arizal, that even as it refers to the piyutim, those are the liturgies, the pizmoinim, those are the kinds of different songs that we do. So he says that they were confirmed only those that have been established, instituted by, on the road of truth, meaning by the Kabbalah, by the esoteric part. But he says those later ones that did not know the path of the Kabbalah do not know what they're saying. They're mistaken in organizing their words without any knowledge at all. That's a direct quote from the Pri Etz Chaim Shar Aleph in the beginning, in which he quotes from the Arizal, that's the Etz Chaim, the Reb Chaim Vital, and in the Pri Etz Chaim from Reb Chaim Vital. So he says that we only confirm those that were authored based on the Kabbalah and the esoteric. But the other ones are just, you know, even if they know halacha, they know other, that's, if they don't know the Kabbalah, don't really know what they're saying, and they are mistaking in organizing their words without any knowledge at all. The Rebbe says, because I'm so appreciative to show you how precious and for how much this matter is dear to me, that what you did, I'm here at the bottom of the note, bottom of the letter, I want to make a few notes. I'm hopeful, the Rebbe says, that many people will bring your Siddur, your Sefer, into their home and look into it. And the main thing is that this will bring them to the intended purpose to reflect before the davening, as we were instructed. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Rechaim, Reish Simen Tzadik Ches, this is a quote: when you daven, you got to know before whom you are standing. And it's a very clear, articulate ruling that Yachshev Koidem HaTfilah, you must reflect, think before davening. That means, when we say reflect, that means at least 3 times on a weekday and 4 times on Shabbos and Yontif. That's the Rebbe quoting. Why? Because you have a weekday, you have 3 prayers, and on Yontif you have, and on Shabbos and Yontif you have Musaf. You must think. So the Rebbe is adding these words. He writes, the writer, that when he says before the davening, he says, what does it mean before the davening? That literally means 3 times a day on a weekday and 4 times. The davening means the Amidah. Before you do the Amidah, you must think, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Mereimimus Hakel, the exaltness of Hashem Yisala. Maybe Elvi. You must think of the greatness of Hashem. Ubishiflus Adam, and how low the human being is. You're standing before the greatest, and the one who is standing is on the lowest. We are connecting to the greatest. And a person should remove all pleasures from his heart to realize that you're staying and davening before Hashem. This is the Shulchan Aruch, Erechaim Reish Simen Tzadik Ches, the beginning of chapter 98. And this is all based on the Mishnah that says, you don't start to daven, you have to have that reflection. And then, if you start off before the davening with reflection, so then for sure that during the davening and the davening itself will really be fitting. It's really davening. As Rashi said, as we quoted before, Tala Lamaila, it will go up above. The Rebbe says, with honor and with blessing. So the Rebbe is very much, this is an unusual, appreciative letter of the Rebbe to such an extent. Well, the Rebbe keeps on showering him with compliments for what he's done, and the necessity and the importance, and this will help to daven and for the davening to go up. And as the Rebbe goes on, and this was also what the Alter Rebbe did and the importance of it. And the Rebbe is hopeful that people will bring the Sefer home, the Siddur, and they'll look into it. It'll help them with their reflection, and then their whole davening will go. And now, the Rebbe gives a few notes to the Sefer. So the Rebbe makes that in the beginning, on page 14a, when he quotes halachas about the talis katan, the small talis. So he writes over there, you should make the bracha on the tzitzis before you put it on. You make the bracha on the talis katan, you make the bracha asher kedishanu b'mitzvos b'tzivanu al mitzvat tzitzit, the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, we will see, the Rebbe will clarify now some very important points about this tzitzit. Whether we can actually make the bracha on these talis katan, and the Rebbe's point is going to be that when you are ruling and you bring a halacha, it must fit the common way that people do, and you must take into consideration the facts. The Rebbe argues, in a minute we'll see, that most of the talus cotton that the people wear do not have a shiur. They don't have the amount that is required for making a bracha. And therefore, the Rebbe's point is that you don't and should not make the bracha. Let's look inside. First, the Rebbe says that when you rule a halacha in generally, and especially when it's in a sitter, you have to go by the final conclusion, which means you don't bring down possible rulings, but you got to do what the end conclusion is. And also as it pertains to actual, the facts on the ground. And the Rebbe says that there should be a case that the halacha should be like you say, to make the bracha before you put it on. During our time, this is very rare. B'yoyser b'yoyser is very, very rare. Why? Because a talus cotton needs to have a shear. Shear is an amma la'amma, needs to have a shear. If it doesn't have a shear, then you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah, then your blessing is in vain. You're making because you didn't really put on the required amount of a garment that is fit to make a bracha. You can't make a bracha. If you made a bracha, it's a bracha in vain. And that would be a very serious matter to make a bracha in vain. And the Rebbe says, you actually bring this down, by the way. He also quotes this idea later on in the Siddur, but that is in the portion which is designated for those who are looking in on page 24b. So you also mentioned this, but here you're talking about the practical halacha. The Rebbe says you need to have a shear. And unfortunately, the Rebbe says, Baba Niseinu Horabim, for our great sins, there are many people that in their talus cotton, their small talus, they don't have the proper shear, etc. So there's no bracha. So how was the ruling done in any event? That one who puts on the talus gadol later on, if you put on a big talus, when you make the bracha on the big talus, which has a shear, you say lis'ati batzitzis, so you should also have in mind to exempt the talus cotton. And that is, you can rely on that bracha even if there is a shear. So we're not going to say, okay, so put on the talus cotton, even if your talus cotton has a shear. But we rely already that when you make the bracha on the talus gadol, you'll have in mind also the talus cotton. So you don't make a separate bracha on the talus gadol. And the Rebbe says, that's why, from this we can understand that anyone who doesn't have a complete shear in the talus cotton, a certain shear, and they don't put on a talus gadol, they're not married people, we don't put on a talus gadol before they're married, they should listen from somebody who makes a bracha on talus gadol and to answer amen, because they still can't make a bracha on their talus cotton. And the Rebbe says this is explained in the Achronim, in the later ones, the Shulchan Aruch, Eir Chaim, Simen Ches, Tazayin Yudzayin, subsection 16 and 17. The Rebbe said, I'm not going into at length over there. I just wanted to point out that when we were growing up, we would also, in the cheder, actually, in class, when we would daven together, we would all make the bracha, and the bracha is right there in the siddur. And the way the Rebbe explains now, you can't make the bracha if you don't have the shear of your talis. Now, these little kids don't have a shear in their talis cotton. But I'm thinking that because of chinuch, I got to look this further in the halacha, but I'm thinking that because of chinuch, because it's education, it's okay for the them to make the bracha. Besides the fact they're not going to hear the bracha from somebody who's putting on the talis gadol. I'm just wondering in the practical play how this works out. The next note the Rebbe makes is in the end of the Hagdama, the end of the introduction, on page Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and I guess he writes over there, you know, many times we have a shear of four tvachim. I'm not sure exactly what the four tvachim over there he's talking about. I don't have the sitter in front of me, so I can only guess, but apparently he corrects it that instead of saying four tvachim and something, just four tvachim. Kein tzorich li, is that apparently was the note of the author. And in the explanation, he was also saying, I mean, it's hard to say that, but anyways, the Rebbe says the language, we do find the language for Tvachim and something, which means to make sure it's a little bit more. That's in the Siddur HaRizal Tarash Rashkov, and also in the Pri Yitzchayim Shar Chag HaSukkos and Shar HaKavonis Inyan Sukkos. Over there he talks about the pas dalat tfachim, the strip of four tfachim for the sukkah. Also the Rebbe references over there this four tfachim and something. I guess most of the time we use four tvachim, the precise shear. A little more means just not to be exact. I need to look up in the Sefer to try to understand. By the way, the Rebbe says, talking about measures, the Rebbe says in the explanation, he tries to explain what it says in the Siddur of the Arizal, Asa'oir b'kizayis, the shear of sa'oir, of the sourdough, I guess, in Pesach, is the size of an olive, which is the prohibition. But the Rebbe sends several references to that idea in the Shar HaKoylel, which the Rebbe says is my great-grandfather, Rabbi Avrom David Lavut, was the grandfather of the Rebbe, in Shar Memches Siv Beis. And the Rebbe says over there, he actually quotes also from the responses of Heshiv Moshe, which is in Chelik Orechaim Simon Tezayin, which was a response to the Chassam Sofer. So that's kind of hard to give an exact without seeing in the Siddur. That's a note the Rebbe makes for him. So I guess going now in the order of the davening, so the very first prayer that we do is we say, Moida nilfonecho shechzarto bi nishmosi. But when we go to sleep, we use the lashon the pasuk and we say, biyotcho afkid ruchi. We don't say, biyotcho afkid nishmosi. So he was questioning the language, why do we say shechzarto bi nishmosi and not maybe echzarto bi ruchi? So the Rebbe says this fits to the language of the bracha, because later on in the bracha that you say lekai neshama shenasat tabi, you concluded baruch ato Hashem hamachzir neshamis livgori meisim. So they use the term neshamis, and this is sort of a shorted prayer from the words from the next pasuk. You do it even before you wash your hands. You say the moda ani. So it's not a bracha, but it's the moda ani. So we use the similar language that we say later on in the bracha, in which it talks about neshamas. Okay, so the question is, why do we say amachzir neshamas? Why don't we say amachzir ruches? So the Rebbe says in this bracha, we can say that the reason is simply because we are reminding and sort of arousing the things the way they were in the beginning. It says, "Vayipach la'apov nishmas chaim." The pasuk says, "And he blew into his nostrils a neshama, a nishmas chaim." So that's why the bracha was set up with the language of neshama, because that's, the Rebbe says very simply. Maybe he has another explanation over there in the sefer, but the Rebbe, that's what the Rebbe's suggestion. And why does it say in the pasuk that he points out over there? We say biyotcha afkid ruchi. So it doesn't say nishmasi. So the Rebbe says, look in the Shara Kavonis drushe halaylo daf yud. Over there, he quotes v'tam oivrei afkid ruchi v'lo nafshi o nishmasi chulu. Why do we say that? The Rebbe references. He gives the reason over there. So that the Rebbe explains why we say Nishmosi. Shechzar to be Nishmosi. Then the Rebbe makes a note in the Siddur in the end. I guess it's on page Tov Memches. He talks about Rish Chodesh, and he says that there is an exception to it with regards to fast day. Not sure exactly again what it was saying over there about Rish Chodesh. They said there's an exception with regards to fasting, and that on Rish Chodesh Nissen, you're not allowed to fast altogether, and that Rish Chodesh Menachem Av, a tiny siyachet, according to some, is permitted. I'm not sure exactly if that's what he's saying there, but the Rebbe says another exception that you can ask to add when the fasting is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Aleph B'Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. Over there, it's also prohibited, the fasting. I think that's what the Rebbe is pointing out over here. Again, without seeing in the Seder, it's a little bit hard to figure out. The Rebbe points out that there is a Tzofnas Paneach to the Ragachavim Madura Tinyona to look in there as well on page 142b. Another note that the Rebbe brings him in continuing about the Rosh Chodesh, he talks about the prohibition of doing work on Rosh Chodesh. And then is brought down from the Tzavo of Rabbi Yudah Chosid, the instructions of Rabbi Yudah Chosid, not to take haircuts and not to cut the nails on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rebbe says that depends on to find out the reason why Rabbi Yudah Chosid said not to do it. Is it because there is a prohibition? Rosh Chodesh, you don't want to have on Rosh Chodesh doing work. So, if the reason is Isura, so then there is a... especially for Rosh Chodesh, or maybe certain things Rabbi Yudah Chosid said is Mishum Sakanta, there's some danger in it. So then it's not connected to Isur Melocha. Basically, we find like other times, whether you're allowed to take a haircut or cut the nails. Like we see, the Rebbe brings down from Damascus Eliezer that after Chatzos, you should not take a haircut. So it seems like it has to do with the sanctity of Shabbos already in preparation. So that would be more Mishum Isura. If it's an Isur, then it's something about the haircutting. And so it's also, again, all these details need to be looked in further when I have the Sefer in front of me. But in any event, the Rebbe is very pleased with this Rebbe Yaakov Verdiger, with his Siddur Tzloisa de Avram, and the Rebbe praises him to all the things. The Rebbe makes several notes over here, and why we say Nishmosi, and the Rebbe explains that. The Rebbe explains also with the fast day, also includes Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and also the Rebbe talks about the Isur of Melocha. The Rebbe talks about the Fort Fachim, or Fort Fachim Ashu, as mentioned earlier.